Mrs. Burton, you were telling me about the parties and the music.
Yes, the music. We'd have music at every party. And they were the Thompsons. Brothers, Lindsay, Milt, and John, and the Canutes, Jack Canute and Alan Canute, were singers, and they also played the banjos. And we had good music. And then we had organs in the homes. And
you'd sing along with them, and
well, when they would usually end up our parties, especially in our house, with a choir of us at the organ. And my cousin Molly was the organist at the time. And she played the organ, and we had a choir.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about, other people have told me that in early days they had what they call singing schools. Now, was your father connected with anything like that?
Yes, that's where he learned that. He had learned the notes and all, you know, and he could teach music. But it was the flat notes, darling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more not like the round. You go now to the round notes. These were the flat notes, but they taught you the music.
Uh-huh.
And he could sing any song with that chart.
Do you remember some of the songs, the names of them?
Oh, yes. Let me see. One was, what is that? I'm a pilgrim. What is that song?
I'm a wayfarer.
I'm a wayfaring stranger. That's one of his favorites.
Some of the old songs like Barbara Allen and...
Oh, well, they'd sing them at home, you know. Uh-huh. He'd sing all kinds of songs at home. But I thought you meant the hymns.
Well, both. Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh.
And he would get me on a fence post and teach me how to sing. What was that song? Well, one was Little Brown Jug.
Uh-huh.
But, yes, Barbara Allen and what was some of them other old songs?
I can't remember. Well,
you see, you've come too late.
No, I have a poor memory, too. If something doesn't, you know, ring a bell with me, I can't think of it either.
If I'd have known anything much as you ask.
When you think about these parties, were they really dress-up parties? I mean, did you really feel like you had to put on your best dress? Or was it more informal?
Well, most of the time you put on, not the Sunday go-to-meeting dress.
But just one that was nice.
One that looked pretty nice.
Uh-huh. Were they mostly...
And then we have these corn shucking times and things like that.
You help neighbors out during busy times of the season,
uh-huh.
And you get together like that?
Bean strings.
Uh-huh.
Bean string time.
And sorghum making. And
sorghum making. Yeah, we'd have parties at sorghum time.
Mm-hmm. What about, were they usually at night or were they during the day?
Night.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people say that on Sunday afternoons they would go to each other's house and play music and things like that.
Was
that typical too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me ask you some more questions about how did Rich Creek get its name?
That's a mystery. Nobody has found it.
It's an unusual name. You would think it because of
something
there that was valuable that it would have gotten its name.
Nobody can. I've tried, and we've all tried, and we've come up with nothing.
Can you tell me anything about, maybe some catastrophe or some terrible happening that happened in your childhood that just stands out in your mind? Do you remember anybody in your neighborhood or community that got hurt, that was a freak accident or anything like that? Maybe some member in your family, an aunt or an uncle? Or was there any killings?
Well, as I told you, but it wasn't in my family.
Well, I mean in the community of Ridge Creek. Can you think
Jay of... Burton, my first teacher. He was a teacher and then he'd become a lawyer. And he come in here at Louisiana. He was murdered. And that, if you want me to tell my first view of my husband was at that funeral. I was about, I'd say, 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was all dressed up in red. With a red hat and streamers, ribbon streamers at the back. I felt pretty nice. Well, my father and mother took me to that funeral. Well, it was a cold day. It was on the Rich Creek soil, yeah. And a cold day, we had to walk about a mile. And outside was a great big bonfire for people to go and warm there. And they was all together. The funeral was to be at a house, at the Frank Burton house. Well, there was a bonfire. Here I stood. Over there stood a tall, black fella, about 16. Oh, curly hair, big blue eyes. And I look at him, and he look at me. So I didn't know that though for later years. But I found out his name was Wordy Burton, S.W. Burton, Samuel Worthington Burton. But in later years, he had told somebody, said, well, I met my future wife. And that's that. At J. Burton, you know, remember that hole in his forehead that shot.
Was it, did they ever find out who shot him?
Yes. I'd better not tell.
Well, them. That's okay. Can you think of any, old happening that, when someone got hurt other than murder, you know, that...
I can't.
Nothing drastic happened on the creek that scared you all and...
Oh, yes. One time... It's Mr. Osborne's school, I guess. One time we was all there in the schoolroom, as peaceful as you please, and all at once, here come a man on horseback, and he is hollering, yippoo, yippoo, and a shooting, and he shot all around the house, and he went around, I'd say, half a dozen times. Well, Mr. Osborne had enough sense to send two older boys for Uncle Sam Burton. Sam Burton. He was the sheriff at that time, lived on Ridge Creek. He went for him, and here he come on horseback. And by that time, this fella saw him coming, you know, and he hit the highway, you know. And he went down, and he didn't get very far down to Sam Cody. Was I scared to death? And he sent all us children here at the schoolhouse, and up across a bridge, there was a holler. And he said, get up there as far as you can to that rock house, and stay there till I call for you. There we went a-shaking. So that's one.
Well, yeah.
So I'll not tell that name because it might.
Well.
And then now let me see. Well, I could tell a lot of things, but I can't remember.
What about some old stories or customs that have been handed down through your family that you remember? Do you remember any legends or... folk tales, for example, maybe something about when your ancestors came to Kentucky, a hard time they had getting here, or anything like that?
Oh, yes. My grandfather, Isaac Berry, his father, John, come from Virginia, and they were Scotch-Irish people, and they come over the Cumberland Gap in wagons.
Did they lose anybody coming over? I mean, were there Indian attacks or anything?
No, no. It's just not that I know of, no.
Bad traveling, of
just
course.
Bad traveling. They came by, I guess, maybe the down Boone Trail, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they just had marks on trees to fall and things like that. I think that was what my grandfather used to tell me.
Where you were born, Miss Burton, was that an old log house or was it,
No. My father was from the old log house, and it stood there, just about 100 yards down below. But my father married, and he brought my mother to the old log house for about a month, I'd say. And my father and his brothers built a two-room house then.
Mm-hmm.
Frame house. I'd say a box house.
Mm-hmm. Is it still there?
Oh, no.
It's gone.
And then they built onto that about a five-room house and a porch and a weatherboard and all that. And I lived in that when I was married. I was living in that cottage house.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lived in that cottage house till, well, let's see, I guess it's about 1915 or something along there, by my husband and my father built the eight-room house that's there now.
And that's where you raised your two children?
My children were all born, though, in the cottage.
Oh, were they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think I got down your date of birth. What was that?
December 4th, 1890.
And when did you and Mr. Burton marry?
July 24th, 1912.
When you lived on Ridge Creek, when did you give up housekeeping yourself? Has it been very long? Did you live on Ridge Creek all
that time? And my mother lived for many years, you know, and helped me to raise the children and up till they were outgrown. And so, what did you say?
I just wondered, you know, how long you'd lived on Ridge Creek. When did
all my life.
And then you just recently started living with your...
Nineteen seventy-five.
Mm-hmm.
My husband died.
Thinking about Ridge Creek, did you ever know any Youngs who lived on Ridge Creek?
No.
This might have been before your time, but I know my grandparents lived on Ridge Creek for a while.
Well, now who were they?
Jesse Young.
Jesse Young.
And Hester.
Hester Young.
But then they moved back to her parents' home when her father became ill, mm-hmm. and they lived on Cherokee.
Now, who was Hester Young?
She was Barry Fugit's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you where I come in. It was Jim Walter Young, mm-hmm. married Emma Grubb.
That was Jesse's son and my father's brother.
Okay. Well, then there was Dr. John Young.
That was a cousin.
Well, he married Mahaley Carter, and she was, her mother was a first cousin of my father.
Now, are you talking about the Dr. John that went to Winchester's live?
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's another John Young that married Tildy Grubb that used to go to school on Ridge Creek. You might not know her, but... they have a home up there on Cherokee.
There's several John Youngs. Now, mm-hmm. see, my grandfather, who was Jesse, Yeah. His father was John.
Yeah.
And this Dr. John was Jesse's first cousin.
First cousin.
Mm-hmm. But now I think that Jesse and Hester, my grandparents, only lived on Ridge Creek for a short while.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe it probably was before your time. I guess I don't know.
It must have been. And then I was trying to think, there's this Hattie, now, is she any relation?
She is a first cousin to my father. Her father was a brother to Jesse,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're talking about the Hattie that married McNeil?
McNeil, Sam McNeil.
That was Daddy's first cousin.
I knew her.
I can't remember now.
Then I was going to say Mel Young.
Was Daddy's brother. All right, now, let me get back to asking you some questions about what you remember. What do you remember about some early crafts that your parents taught you? For example, did you all make your own soap?
Oh, did we? Oh, yes, we made soft soap, and we'd make the soap that you cut into bars. Oh, yes, we made soap. Kettles out there in the porch.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big kettle. And we'd, that's what I made it. My mother made it, and I made it.
Mm-hmm.
And we rub-a-dub-dubbed in a tub with a board. And I've got the board, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for several years, many, many years.
What about, how did you all prepare your meat? Like, did you smoke it or chew it?
We smoked it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we never were without meat, you know.
You had your own smokehouse.
Our own smokehouse. Well, I don't think my father ever did butcher beef. But my husband did. But you don't want that, I guess. But anyway, we had the pork, and we'd have the hogs. We'd butcher them ourselves and cut up that meat. And we got to freezing the meat. I mean, not freezing, but canning.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly smoked. Big hams and, well.
Did you have sausage?
The bacon. The sausage. Was it ever good?
That's what everybody tells me. They said sausage nothing just never so tasted good. Like the old-fashioned sausage.
Nothing so good as that sausage.
Mm-hmm. What about, how did you all, did you raise sheep and have your own wool?
Yes, we sure did. From the time I could remember, we had sheep. And we had all kinds of poultry. We had turkeys, ducks, guineas, chickens. Oh, yes. I guess that's it.
Oh, yeah.
And geese. And I'd go to the, oh, that was one of my delights. Well, there was a place called the Berry Branch. Ran down in front of our house, a little piece down. And I'd go there morning to gather the duck eggs, laying there on the sand or maybe in the water.
Mm.
And then the geese eggs. And then my mother, she raised the turkeys. Well, it was my job maybe to take my dinner and go to the hills called the Aaron's Ridge. I'd go to the top of it almost and find the turkey's nest. And I'd take my dinner. Till I found that. If I found it before dinner time, to bring my dinner back. So that was a delight.
Well, did you all make your own furniture, like all the chairs, making the seats? And mm-hmm. You didn't do that?
My father never did make anything. He didn't. He just loved to keep that store and office, and he farmed a little. My father was not very strong. He had heart trouble, and he's not very old, about 40, and he had to quit work,
mm-hmm.
and that's the reason he ran that store.
I think also there's some people that are just more talented in making things than others. He probably was more of the merchant type and
yes,
not the
he was. Home now, type. My Uncle Buck, he could make furniture. He'd make furniture. In fact, he made a safe right out there in the front porch. I have to tell that tale.
Okay.
It was kind of funny. Uncle Buck was fixing to leave Rich Creek. He had a nice old home out there. It was all made just a one story, I guess, but it was painted and everything, and pretty nice furniture. But he had made this old, what we call a quilt press. And he made it out of any kind of lumber he could find. And it you can look at that there as well. And he put them shelves in. And he'd have curtains over that, you know. And I had to, well, we all made quilts. We made quilts. Had the quilts and blankets and everything there. And so when he went to move, he said, Hattie, would you like anything in this house that I'm leaving, said I can take everything. And I said, I want that quilt press. And he just laughed. You know you wouldn't have that. I said, that's what I want.
Well.
And I said, I want that quilt press because you made it. And why I want it, I never knew. But I'm glad I did. So that quilt press was brought down home, and it was put up in the second story. We had 8-story, but 2-story house. And it was put up there and filled with the quilts and blankets until so I quit keeping house.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now, girls, I said, they went to store and things and everything. And I said, girls, there's one thing I don't want thrown away. And I said, I don't want that quilt press thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is to this day out there.
Whenever something's made by your family, it has great sentimental value.
I know, but he made other nice things. He made some chairs, and I can't remember what all he made. But he didn't take too many of them movies.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about other crafts that your mother or father...
Well, my mother, I'll tell you, my mother was a hard-working woman. And they wanted to school me, and that was their first object. They wanted me to have education. And so my mother would go to the field and work in the fields, maybe till dinner time. Here she'd come. And they'd have work hands. And she'd go with the work hands and work. Oh, that was for a few years after I could remember. And then, of course, she quit that after a while. And we kept boarders.
Mm-hmm.
We kept the boarders, what would you call them anyway? They come from Elliott County, Morgan County, some of Gotham, Johnson, and Lawrence.
What were they doing, mining or what?
And, oh, they were merchants. And
oh,
they'd haul
just
their
passing hoop, through.
And they'd haul their chickens and eggs. And then they'd have geese droves, turkey droves,
mm-hmm.
and hogs, everything. And we would, they kept the boarders there till just before I married.
Mm-hmm.
They quit that about, I guess, 2 years before I married, about 1910, I guess. They quit the boarders. And therefore, she didn't knit, nor she didn't crochet, nor she didn't loom. Now, I had three aunts, eight Nan, Poe, Michael Buck, Barry's wife, Aunt Molly Webb, Barry, and Aunt Lou Benny Sparks, Barry. They were weavers.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother would buy carpets, blankets, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Although my mother and And I learned to piece quilts now this year. And she'd piece quilts, a lot of quilts, and we'd quilt.
Mm-hmm.
That's about mostly what she did. Otherwise, than cooking for boarders, day and night, they'd come for dinners.
Yeah.
Go to Louisiana, maybe. And then they'd come back at night, and then in the wintertime, they'd come from Blaine there and stay all night, go to Louisiana, stay all night, come back home, stay all night, and go on with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, did your parents, because they had the boarders, you surely have to do a lot of canning and things like that, wouldn't you?
Yes, we had plenty of things we had to put away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dried beans then. We'd have dried beans.
Dried apples.
Dried apples. And she kept cakes and pie. She had her table, long square-like table with a white tablecloth on there. And then she had a thin cover muslin over that, but she kept her table set. When we'd wash the dishes, if I got big enough, I got big enough pretty quick, I set from 6 to 8 plates with the silverware and maybe the cups and saucers and glasses. And she always kept cakes on the table, covered with something, and pies. But at that time, they had no freezers, and they had no ice boxes, no nothing. And these big lard cans, she'd have them about half full of dried apple pies or whatever time of year. And maybe in the summertime, blackberry cobblers, gooseberry cobblers, raspberry cobblers, and,
I think that must be the most wonderful thing about the past was the good food.
Oh, I loved every day of it. Mm-hmm. I had the best of it. And, I know I can
just
remember.
Just a minute, the tape's running out.